Hello and welcome to Techlandia. Techlandia is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcast by educators. For more great content, please visit edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hello, happy New Year, Festivus, and all those holidays rolled into one.
Happy everything, everybody.
Happy everything. It's the Grumpy Old Teachers 2017 style. We're literally 8 minutes away from New Year's Eve. And where else would we be but podcasting, because it is the Techlandia four-year anniversary today. I got a thing from Podomatic Scott that said, hey, it's been 4 years that we've been raking you over the coals with our outrageous fees. And
that's so funny, John, because we got one as the Bedley Brothers that it's been 4 years and 2 days.
It's been 7 hours and 16 days since Podomatic took its love away from me. I'm John Samuelson in Portland, Oregon. I'm still in 2016, but by the time we finish the show, it'll be 2017. Down in SoCal, we have the one, the only...
Jameson Luke.
No, it's not Jameson Luke. That's your teaching partner.
Yeah, he's legit. I am the _ Greg Garner.
Greg Garner's already in 2017. He's already a year ahead of us.
In so many ways. He is always a year ahead of us.
He is ahead of his time. A young man ahead of his time.
For sure. I am Scott Bedley, though.
Scott Bedley.
In case you're the weird teacher and you're not quite sure, I am Scott Bedley.
Scott, not Tim.
Yeah, not Tim.
That's all right. Hey, did you see the weird teacher has got a new book out?
Does he really?
So he has a new book out, but it's not a teaching book, Scott. It is a fiction book of, and there's some girl on a motorcycle on the cover.
Wow.
I saw him tweet that out. He said, if you want any autographed copies, just give him a call and he'll autograph a copy and send it on over to you.
An autographed copy.
I think you gotta pay for it though. You know what I'm saying? Oh. Especially you.
He's like giving free. I'm not surprised.
I wish we were in tight with a weird teacher like that.
Hey, very John, I got 56 seconds till like the countdown with, you know.
56 Kathy seconds Cooper. Till the 5 minute countdown?
Cooper, yeah. I'm watching it live here on CNN, bro.
Okay, that's good. You can keep me apprised. I'm not watching.
I'm going to count it down for 44, 40, 39.
please don't.
Great podcasting.
Please don't. Just let us know when it happens. All right, so anyway. What are we talking about? Why are we podcasting? I've even uploaded the last episode.
I mean, I have to say, John, last year I forced you to do a New Year's Eve episode. And we did it. It was a lot of fun. And here we are again, John. Again, another year us celebrating New Year's. 12, 11, 10.
Okay, but nine, Scott, you're still 5 minutes out. You're
7, 6, 5, 4. I'm just watching 3, 2. One, the ball's dropping on CNN.
Okay, but it's still 5 more minutes.
It is. It's funny. They're showing it 5 minutes. And you know what it says on CNN? It says 11:54 p.m. And it's showing it 6 minutes early. And there's a bunch of people kissing. And it's Planet Fitness is like sponsored everyone's hat. But we're not getting any money from Planet Fitness.
But, by the way.
You know, John.
Right. Well, you might be, but I'm definitely not getting any money from Platinum Fitness. fatty Fatster over here.
Fatness Fitness.
All right. So, Scott, before you do this, and I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to actually be serious here. I'm seriously going to be serious. I know that 2016 was a hard year with all the celebrity deaths and things like that. And
It was rough.
I do want to.
In a lot of ways.
When we started Techlandia, which Techlandia now we will fade into the sunset and we'll leave the episodes up there, so don't worry about it. But eventually we'll probably sunset those in there. But I'm going to put up the new podcast, the Teaching in Beta stuff, with a new logo. Grumpy Old Teachers will have its own little logo. We have our own website, grumpyoldteachers.com, all that stuff. But now I'm digressing from my real thing. Was I was actually going to be serious. And I just want to say that 4 years ago, I started this podcast with my friend Allison Anderson. and she
an amazing
person who lives in Portland, and I lived in Austin, and now I live in Portland, and I never see her, but that's because she's been going through some rough time, and I want to pass out our condolences as her mother passed away a few days ago, and our hearts goes out to Allison, and it's just been
that year.
And I know that there was a time back in September where I had three kids that I went to high school with that all passed away like right there. And people that I knew decently well, it's not just like they were acquaintances. Right. And I hope we can get better in 2017. I really do. Cause I feel like it's not been a good year. It makes you at our old age, think about death a lot more and your own mortality, which I usually never think about. But now all of a sudden, when you see 60-year-old people and, you know, we're 46 and 47, you see 60-year-old people passing away like Carrie Fisher, it kind of gives you pause for a second and think, okay, you gotta take your time. And I know that time is the enemy of all teachers, and we say we don't have enough time, but I feel like you need to make time, and I feel like maybe in 2017, time's not going to be an excuse for me anymore. Just make good use of your time while you have it here. Not to get all deep, but yeah, I'm thinking, I always say that time's the enemy, but I'm going to find ways to be more efficient, I think. So
yeah, anyway. I mean, John, I tweeted out just a day or so ago about the levels of stress, and NPR did an entire story on the levels of stress for teachers and how teachers are impacted by that. And, you know, it's not only the stress that we face in the classrooms, John, and working with kids and their colleagues, but, you know, we face so much as people, and you know, we face all these personal things that we kind of set aside. And I know so many teachers that set the personal things aside, and they want to bring what they have, the best of what they have for their students. And, you know, it's an honor to be a part of this profession, but it's also, it's such a challenge to be a part of this profession as well. So
I actually, you know, what's funny, Scott, we always do that thing where we one up each other on who saw things first. I actually thought about tweeting out that article on NPR, and I found something else, and I think I tweeted that out instead. Probably some crazy new app or something like that. You know how I am, old iPad Sammy. But I saw that article, and yeah, I mean, it just makes you think. We've got to make sure that the time you have that you're spending working, you're making good use of it. I really got sick the day after Christmas. I got sick coincidentally in the movie Sing. I started to get sick. I started to think, is it this movie?
Well, that was a good movie, though, right?
It was pretty decent. I kind of liked it. It has all the celebrity voices that I would like. Like, you've got McConaughey, and then Scarlett Johansson, and Reese Witherspoon, and then a bunch of great people. So Nick Kroll, I love, from The League. So I was watching that, and I got sick, and I was laid up, Scott, for literally 3 days. I probably didn't eat for about 96 hours. And
yeah, John, I think you sent me a really disturbing, depressing video during
right.
That
well, it, time. But scarily enough, it looks just about like I look right now. I was just laying in bed going, oh my God. But
you know the what? Thing was, now that you say that, John,
right? Look at how much I've shaved. Oh, there's New Year's. But the thing that,
no, I still got 1 minute till New Year's.
I'm sorry. No. Look, the Samuelson family is all partying, and my clock's is so. They're running in. Uh oh, here it comes. Hey, buddy. Oh, it's Adam. This is how bad we are. We have to stay up. Can I say something? Oh, thank you. Happy New Year. So it's just funny though, because what I felt was I had planned to get so much extra stuff done. And then when you're sick from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I started to kind of feel better yesterday, that was 3 days out of my 10-day vacation that I just felt like, oh my gosh, I've got to get this time back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I almost felt guilty for being sick and not being able to do anything like clean my house or get schoolwork done or catch up on email. And I don't feel like we should feel like that. Happy New Year, sweetheart.
Happy New Year.
So you can tell we're not lying. I'll have to post this episode. So one of my resolutions is I'll post episodes quicker. I've got to.
Wait, wasn't that your resolution last
year? That was my resolution every year for 4 years now. Hey, buddy. Oh, happy new year.
Dude, what an awesome family. John, I love your family, dude.
Oh, my gosh. Here comes more people.
Some future.
I'm sorry. This is like a five-minute celebration. I have so many kids. That's why.
Yeah, what are you up to now? 7, 8, 9, 10?
Too many. So anyway, I've got this going. But yeah, so I mean, I feel like that kind of goes with the teacher stress thing, though. It's like, here I am, and I'm frustrated because I'm sick. I mean, you'd always take your health for granted. But when you're laid out, I was floored. I didn't eat anything. I barely could drink water. And I'm just sitting there for three whole straight days. And I'm just thinking, gosh darn it, I really wanted to get caught up on stuff, or I wanted to get ahead, or I wanted to get this mess cleaned up or this room painted. And now I'm just not doing anything. And I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. Do other people feel like that? Like, do you feel like that if you ever get sick? Or is it just me?
Oh, no, John. First of all, it's always rough when you get sick because you feel like it's robbing you of the things that you need to do, which is really silly. Like, in a sense that's such a weird thing to think. Like, being sick is robbing me of the work I need to do rather than like, oh gosh, I need to be healthier. So yeah, I mean, I'm right with you on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, let's talk a little bit of education right now. Let's go into
Is this an education talk, though?
This is an education podcast. All right, I'll have to tweet out for that one. The one person that complained that she doesn't have time for this, I'll have to tell her to skip to right and now.
Again, like last podcast, John, I am exhausted, dude.
That's okay.
I can't even speak correctly.
We'll keep it short. We'll keep it short. So here's one that we talked about. Okay, so here's our main topic. Okay, so I saw in the crazy time, talking about the bottle flipping craze, right?
I was doing that tonight.
Talking about the dabbing or whatever. So
I'm dabbing right now. Those of you that are listening, I'm dabbing.
Scott's dabbing. But so the dabbing and like the anti-bottle flipping like sign came out. And then I saw it spark up this whole thing. Why can't we engage students? We should use, and they're like, why do we have to just ban bottle flipping? Why do we just have to ban dabbing? Why can't we just use all this stuff? And I feel like they were kind of going at it in a nice
John,
way.
Why can't we use all that stuff?
I'm right. And I'm just like, is there a time? And then I thought somebody brought up a good point. I think it was in my Voxer group, and somebody brought up a good point and said, you know what? If we go through life and we're teaching kids and we're going through and then they don't ever hear the word no, then they get to be 22 and they hear the word no, and then there's a problem if we don't teach them to deal with the word no. There's a time and a place for everything. And one person was like, I'm going to do a bottle flipping lab, and we're going to do some stuff, and it's going to create some interest. And I feel like that's where you're probably the expert on this stuff, Scott. Taking stuff that's like going on in current events, I feel like, is always a fun thing. And making it relevant for students and connecting it to the real world. But then knowing we're not bottle flipping all the time when we're supposed to be doing stuff, or we're not, you know, dabbing and acting like prima donnas or whatever.
Yeah, you know,
but I don't even mind dabbing. I don't even know.
Nah, you know? I mean, it kind of goes back to what my dad's always talked about, is that, you know, the costs are so small for kids to face the nose when they're young. And I really subscribe to that attitude. Is like, you know, it's not a big deal to lose a recess, or, you know, which I hate and really, really never do myself.
Right.
But the costs are so small relative to like the things that we might lose as adults. Like, let's teach our kids those things when they're kids. But, you know, I think what happens is we lose our focus as far as what it is that we want to accomplish. We get too caught up in the engagement, or we get too caught up in the content, or we get too caught up in all these things and don't think like, how do these things all work together for us to make learning a more piece that will last for you know, a long time with these kids. Like when I think about the things that I want to do with my class, I want kids to remember that and come back and say, "Hey, Mr. Bedley, I remember when we did this in class."
Mm-hmm.
But I also want them to be able to go like that connected to this kind of a thing. I want them to understand what that connects to, not just be like, "Oh, I remember when we did bottle flipping in your class." Be like, "I don't really know what that had to do with anything, but right. I really remember the bottle flipping." So, you know, and that's the danger in getting so caught up with engagement, John. And I think we've talked about this through Voxer and things like that. It's like, it's such a tempting path to go down to get caught up with that engagement and forget about the content and forget about that, you know, these students are all going to have bosses that expect them to like complete things and have things done. And like, they have some guidelines with that. Just not like, "Hey, oh, look, you know, this is a popular thing out there now. Just do that at work." You know, that doesn't really happen. So like, how do we balance the two?
And I think that the whole thing for me is, okay, so here's my example of the engagement thing, where it's like, okay, and we can always talk about our best friend, right? Our engagement friend that blocks me on Twitter, right, Scott? You know who I'm talking about.
I do.
But so, I mean, just because I dress up like a Mario brother doesn't mean my lessons are better, you know, just because you think I'm quacky and goofy and I can dress up like things and use black lights, that doesn't mean that you're learning the content better just right. because I've engaged you. But I think that it goes with me, and I think that this might be the year, and I don't like the cliche thing of like, "Oh, okay, here, let's do a show where we're going to make predictions about 2017. I feel
we're not doing that tonight. Wait, John, we're not? Because I've got like 15 ready to roll here, John.
Scrap those notes. But
okay,
so done. I feel like I'm in one for like augmented reality, virtual reality. I feel like that's been waiting to be taken off. And there's been people that are like, "Hey, I'm the AR king. I'm the AR queen. I'm this, I'm that." And I don't feel like it's ever, but it engages students, but it never really is taken off. What about like those, all right, I'll throw out the app, like the one where you color the pages and it's like Kolar Mix or whatever, right? And then you put the iPad on there and it kind of does like a little funny thing, right? But
what the bird is that? Jumps off or whatever.
Right, but what does it do? So I'm doing a coloring page. What are the kids learning from that? They're not learning anything. Right. They're learning that the iPad is cool, like if you do it, or the phone is cool, or whatever instrument you're putting over it. I feel like when I've used the AR, you can use it successfully, though. When we would do our Living Wax Museum and we would videotape the kids with their video, right?
Right.
And then we used Erasma. And then what we did was we put a picture of Janis Joplin out in the hallway. And if their parents couldn't come that day to see them do our little public service, because we would donate, it was all a service learning project. It was a really cool thing that we did every year. But like, they could come and they could use the Erasma app. And then out of the Janis Joplin picture with Erasma, it would twirl and it would play their video of their child and they could watch it. Now that to me is an effective kind of cool use. But it's really nothing more than a fancy QR code when you boil it down to it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but people get caught up in this, in the engagement piece, and don't make a connection to, like, how does this really impact learning?
Right.
And that's the thing that we as educators, me, myself included, I get excited about mm-hmm. those kind of things
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not judging anybody or anything like that. It's like I'm riding the same boat. I really need to keep myself in check and say, "Hey, you know, what is it that is engaging, but also leads to like a deeper level of learning for my students?" And if it doesn't really lead to the deeper level of learning, it really is just entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with entertainment, but it doesn't need to always be something that I'm doing as a teacher.
Right. And I understand the need that in this world today, I understand that there needs to be, you know, and like you're vying with the YouTube generation and they need to be more entertained to be engaged and whatever.
Right, right, right.
I'm not denying that. I've always been that way before there was even YouTube and cell phones and all that stuff.
I saw a picture of you and Michael Jordan from back in the day. And you know, I'm not really quite sure that you really were that way. So sell us on that first.
Not then, but when I became a professional adult teacher person. But it's just funny because I don't know. I feel like you've got to just let – I can be entertaining. I can be witty or whatever with students. But then I feel like the first thing they need to know is they just need to know that you care. They need to know that you listen. They need to know that you're trying to build them up as the whole person. And then, right, I feel like sometimes if you want to be like, hey, you know what? Today we're just going to – I'm just going to show you what – augmented reality is. We've got 30 minutes. It was a snow day yesterday. I'm kind of tired. Let's do this real quick and let's look at this augmented reality app and see how cool it is and who can make the coolest design. I think that almost goes with like a global school play day kind of thing, Scott, right?
Yeah,
with that.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's bad, but
no.
You can't do it like, here, I'm going to write a blog post about how great it is that I use the Kolar Mix app with somebody. And I'm not trying to bag on that. It's just the one that sticks out in my head. But, you know, and I think that teachers, when they first do that, when you show them that at a workshop, they absolutely love it and think it's incredible. But really, they
just kind of exciting to see the bird come off the coloring page.
Right. And they're right. And they're like,
yeah. Then you're like, okay, where does that go from there?
Right. And that's what that's kind of what I really haven't figured out with that yet. So I think for all the, you know, I tried to buy my dad when he was here, my Bob Samuelson, the former Techlandia's number one fan.
Bob Samuelson.
The Bob Samuelson, who doesn't listen to the show anymore at all. But
what?
Oh, gosh, he hasn't listened for years. He's just a Curtin Allison fan.
Bob.
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame him. I am, too.
Yeah, right. We all are.
You know what? If there was just like a 24-hour, like, Kurt Reese fishing channel, I'd probably watch it for at least a few hours a day.
Get ready, because it's coming pretty soon. It's just, they're calling it Blue Steel.
Hey, listen, Amy Fadasia is calling it Blue Steel too.
Yeah, well, a lot of the ladies like to call it Blue Steel, if you know what I mean. So yeah, I don't know.
Do we need this?
double it up. Well, you got to. One for each eye, one for each blue eye. Like blue, like Lake Winnipesaukee. I don't know. I was trying to think of a Wisconsin lake.
Who else is ice fishing and you just want to see a model too?
Speaking of Lake Minnetonka, I'll say that one. How about Minnetonka? I've watched Purple Rain twice on VH1 in the last 24 hours. Purple Rain.
Gosh, dude. John.
Peace, buddy. Rest in peace.
2016.
That one hurt me. Prince.
Gosh,
Prince
a hurt lot me. Of 2000.
Oh,
I don't God. Even want to get into like Tim Bedley in 2016, but a lot of 2016.
Tim Bedley's, you know what? Tim Bedley is like Oasis, though. He's going to live forever.
That's true, but he's off the pine needle diet, John. He's off kale.
See?
The pine needle.
Oh, Tim. Be careful.
He's just on the dehydration diet. It's really just killing me, John.
Well... You know what, though? We've got grumpy old teacher's number one fan, Taylor James Bedley, ready to step in. So
I love that kid, that's for sure.
So shout out to Taylor.
Taylor, what's up, dude?
Taylor, what's up? Thanks for listening.
Happy New Year, kid.
And you know what? We're just kidding. We love your old man, too.
He's a
cool dude, as much as we like to give him static. So anyway, so on the Grumpy Old Teachers website, Scott, grumpyoldteachers.com, what are the extra pages we should add? Right now, we've had over 3 people visit the website. And
so,
I don't know, would you like to add? Should we add every single episode of Grumpy Old Teachers?
Well, I still need to write that blog post on exactly what happened with me and Woody Harrelson. And I've got that in the works.
You'll put that on there?
I am, dude. Of course I am.
Okay, that'll be good.
I will definitely get that on there, John. I'll email that to you before the 9th of January. I'll commit to that 2017, everybody.
Wow, before the national championship.
I'm going to commit to it. Yeah, I'm going to commit to it, and I'm going to commit to Kathy and Anderson actually kissing this year on the New Year's Eve special.
Oh, wow, look at that. Well, you were saying that I was Kathy and you were Anderson, but I'm not kissing you. I love you, but here, I'll blow you a kiss. So on the Grumpy Old Teachers website, grumpyoldteachers.com, just go and we'll post all the new episodes, an occasional blog post from Scott and John, and if you want anything else, we'll add it. You know, and there's actually a page where you can like request stuff for the show. Maybe you can have us freestyle about a topic, or if you just want us to snark about people and name names, like if you want to know who the person we were just talking about is that dresses like Super Mario, we'll tell you. if you want us to. But we're, you know, let's be nicer in 2017, I guess. But it's Jerome Heath. And he blocked me on Twitter, that jerk. And I don't know why. But he does dress up like Super Mario, and he does use black lights in classroom, and he is all about engagement. And Scott's talking, but he's muted right now. And I think Scott's like, dude, just stop. Are you trying to telepathically say stop?
No, I was just saying, you know who I miss talking to is Travis.
Yeah. Travis would figure out all our little puzzles, but now we're just going to be more transparent. All right. So that was pretty good. Okay.
That was really transparent, by the way, John.
That was very transparent. He would never listen to the show anyway. So, and he blocks me on Twitter. Jerome Heath. I was up in Seattle. I should have tried to visit him and just like, you know, and said, why'd you block me? He totally misinterpreted the tweet that he blocked.
Well, I know why he blocked you, John.
I know, but he totally misinterpreted that tweet. He doesn't know me. He should have engaged me back if he's the engagement master. He should have sent me a little video, like dressed like Luigi, and said, "Hey, why are you talking bad about me on the Twitter?"
It wasn't even talking bad. It was like a fantasy football thing, which is really ridiculous. On top of it,
no, you're right. It's the.
It had nothing to do with teaching everybody. Let me say it had nothing to do with teaching and like John criticizing anything. It was like fantasy football related, which is even funnier.
Okay, so here's the real story. The real story is they, you know how the in March they have March Madness and they bracket 64 Twitter educators on a bracket.
And randomly. By the way, that's 64 edufamous.
64 edufamous. Okay, so I, of course, am one of the edufamous, which makes me very happy. So anyway, they do this the one year, and I'm really offended at first. But then all they do is they just pair you up with whatever team. So like I was the 8 seed in the West bracket, and so that's my team. And if they win, I beat whoever they're with, right? So it has nothing to do with anything. Well, the year that I do it, I'm the 8 seed in the West or whatever it is, and UConn goes on some major run, and they win the national championship. So I'm
sorry, that's Ann Jinx.
So I win, right? So the next year, they pair me up, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm the defending champion. You're going down, Jerome Heath.
Did you pick Kentucky that year or something like
right.
that?
Right. Well, and so then they ranked me low. And I wrote to him and said, I should pick my team. I want undefeated Kentucky. And so they gave me undefeated Kentucky. So then I was pitted against Jerome Heath in the first round. Nobody was going to beat Kentucky, which they did end up getting beat in the Final Four. But the 16 seed was never going to beat him. I'm like, you're going down, Jerome Heath. He blocks me out of nowhere.
No.
That's it. That's the story. End of story. There it is. So there you go. There's the story of how I got blocked on Twitter. And I don't really care, but that's what happened. And it's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, so there we go. So Scott Bedley, are you still there, or are you now he's ghosting me. Scott is totally ghosting me right now. So let's talk about some of the cliches or some of the things that I'm seeing at the end of the new year. Like, okay, so here we go. I mean, so like the resolution, how many resolution blog posts can we have? How many, I don't know, how many lists of best apps? Does it all drive you crazy? Is it all good? I don't know. Oh, wait, Scott's really not there? Scott, are you not there? Scott, now I'm going to have to edit this. Oh, that's so bad. All right, hold on. Well, hey, thanks to the two viewers, by the way, are there really two people watching us? Happy New Year, two people. Thank you. That's so nice of you. I don't know where Scott went. He just faded. Let me see if I can text him real quick. This makes for a really bad radio.
Hey, John, sorry about that.
Yeah, what's wrong?
It's 2:20. It's 12:20 in the morning right now.
Okay.
And my son just got up, and I had to like run up and like I'm at my in-law's house tonight. So, hey, everybody, be quiet out there.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that, guys.
That's okay. Well, I was having a hard time filling because then I kept saying, all right. And then I was expecting you to come back on eventually. Okay, so here, let's finish off. We can finish off real quick. But what are some of the things that you're like, okay, here's my last topic. Why is social media totally bumming me out lately? I used to love Twitter. I don't even, Instagram is really bumming me out lately. Instagram is like the new Facebook, dude. And I know you're on it, and Marnie, my wife, is on it all the time. And I see all the people like liking stuff and
All right, so
what is the, Allison is the original person that got me on Instagram way back when. And she's like, no, John, go to Instagram if you don't like Facebook. What is the deal with Instagram right now? I guess what I don't like is I like it when people actually take pictures of themselves or what they're doing. I don't mind that part. But what I don't like the screen captures now or the pictures of emails and stuff like that. Like, no, I'll go through my feed right now. But why is Instagram – I really don't want to use Instagram anymore. It's bumming me out.
No, I think that's a big part of it, John, is that people are using it like they're using Facebook. And I honestly, actually, you know what? I don't know because I haven't used Facebook for that long. I just know from the past maybe year that I've used Facebook that I just absolutely can't stand it because it is all this like screen capture stuff. And to me, Instagram is really about trying to capture some cool pictures. And I think we talked about this before, but it's just surprising what gets posted on Instagram. Whereas, you know, I think, John, for you, Twitter, really what's happening for you at Twitter is that you lost that personal feel, that connectedness, and it's become this just flood, but not even a flood of people you know. It's like a flood of the people you know, but then the people that you know or know of just pushing stuff out just to push content out to like get followers. And that's a real problem, is when people start pushing things out on social media, not because it's quality, but because they want to get followers based on that, whatever they're pushing out. So that's like one of my concerns, you know, and, you know, I don't have a lot of Twitter followers and things like that, John. I'm not a 10K guy or 100K or whatever. Like I'm barely a 1,000K guy. And I think the problem though is really that people are pushing out content with the intent of getting followers rather than really impacting or having some kind of quality impact on education. And so I think when it becomes like this selfish focus of social media, same thing with the stuff that you're seeing on Instagram, it takes away from the intent of it and pushes it into this realm of marketing. And that's when it becomes like no more social, it becomes commercial. You know, and I think you see just so much commercialism that's even self-commercialism on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Like, it's like, where do you go? Like Bill Selleck, he goes to Snapchat now because it's so commercialized. And I know Bill doesn't want to deal with all the commercialized stuff. He wants to deal with people being authentic and showing what's happening in their classrooms and what's happening at their school sites and things like that. So that's the thing.
Bill wants to talk about how much money his school spending on
stuff. He does. But hey, I think that's what you're feeling. I think you're feeling the angst of commercialism that's being pushed towards you from the algorithms that keep you in this pocket.
The algorithms really bother me. Like I don't get the same things on there that I want. And I'm like, why are they keep pushing this towards me in Instagram?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the thing, like the best nine pictures. Like, all
right,
so I just
best nine? Is that a thing right now?
Yeah, is that a thing? I didn't know because about 15 out of the first 20 pictures in my Instagram are like all these best nines. And I'm like,
well, you know me, I didn't do best nine. Sorry,
you did the worst. Yes, you did the worst nine. Thank you. And I was included. Thank you.
So it was Tim Bedley, my brother. you in the same picture.
Jameson. So now I've got all these collages of people. And so I looked on there just now. So Dan McDowell always posts quality pictures. So Dan McDowell is like, I like to look at his photography because I feel like there are some good photographers out there. Carl Lindgren-Stryker.
Amazing. Carl Lindgren-Stryker,
a nice guy, Now he might be a Canadian, so we might have to go and rough him up a little bit. And
so he's nice. He's a half of a nice guy.
Yeah, he's half of a nice guy. But you know, and by the way, we're just kidding. We love Canadians here. In fact, we're envious of you.
Especially after the first Tuesday in November.
But I loved him way before that too. But I just think that I want to see pictures. I want to see people taking pictures, and I like this. Right. I like some of the stuff, and that's why I liked Instagram. But now it's like I don't even want to post there because I'm like, oh gosh, what am I gonna do? I did post something today where I like the a little app that's good is the 1 second every day app, and I didn't know it was $4.99. I kickstarted it a long time ago, but it's like $4.99 now, but they did take it all your Instagram things and make it into a little quick video of like, oh, cool. Who knows what their algorithm is for your best 20, 25 Instagram.
Same algorithm as my worst 9.
Yeah, probably, right? But I don't know. It's Instagram is bumming me out lately, and yeah, I barely post to it, and it's too bad. Because, and you know what I really liked was I really liked Vine. And then they're shutting it down. But I think that the one thing that's going to save it, Scott, is, and this is what I've always said about Vine. Vine has the best camera interface for doing what I do, where I want to kind of take a quick snippet, like a 6 second snippet of around the room, but I don't want to pan around the room and have it continuously go, because all I have to do is tap my screen and it's that quick edit thing. And so on Vine now, I saw that they've kept it open, but they said wait in 2017 for the Vine camera. And I'm like, if the Vine camera is an app, I would pay $20 for that thing. I really would. Yeah. For just something where I can just tap my thumb on my phone and take pictures and quick snippets like that. I love that. And I'm glad that they're doing that then, if that's what they're doing. And they're
shutting it down. Well, if you don't have your spectacles.
Yeah. Your Google Glass?
No, you know who put out spectacles.
No.
You don't?
No.
Snapchat spectacles, dude.
Snapchat. Is that what you were talking about the other day?
Yeah, lives. Like, it's like
glasses
with Snapchat, so you can just go. Okay, so like, John, I really think you need to step on board this, and I'm gonna give you, everybody out there, write this down. This is the tip of 2017.
Okay.
Are you ready? Napster.
Is that it, Napster? It's making a comeback, right?
Yes, it is.
I know. And then you know what? I just watched The Social Network too. So you know who's Mr. Napster, but yeah. Other than Justin Timberlake.
I thought you were going to say Mr. McNology, but okay.
No, Justin Timberlake. Maybe I should change it. That's my new theme song. By the way,
Sorry, Mr. McNology.
We're talking about Justin Timberlake now. I mean, we know that you're handsome, Jeremy, but Justin, sorry. You don't hold a candle in the wind to him. By the way, if you
you're
guys
only four big, tool instead of five tool.
That's right. Yeah, JT's five tool, like Billy Bean. But if you are a JT fan, you can watch the JT and the Tennessee Kids concert, which is pretty good, and it's directed by the same director that did Silence of the Lambs, Scott Bedley. Ooh. Anyway, so I just watched that from his concert.
Do you want some fava beans with your...
Yeah, that's what he comes on and says in the beginning of his concert. He's like, do you want some fava beans? Yeah.
And they just remix that.
Come on, yeah. Come on, put them in the pot. Go ahead, get on with it.
Wait, let's do that again. But let's use that amazing app, John. I don't know if you're using that app yet, are you?
Which one? Snapchat?
No, it's not Snapchat at all.
By the way, I like Snapchat. I'm not really into Snapchat because I don't like the people that get on and go, like Miss Geeky Teach, I'll call her out. Like she'll be like, she'll do like one in a story and she'll be like, here, I'm, you know, at a lamb farm or something. And I'm like, I don't have any context for what's going on. Or here, I'm at a Target. I'm like, I don't care. But I like the stories on Snapchat that are made by like sports, like ESPN and Cosmo or whatever. I don't even know. Like the real magazines though, they have this real filter where they can make really elaborate stories, and they're kind of fun. So I do like getting my news that way.
Should you but be otherwise, concerned? Like, should you be concerned if somebody that's your spouse is on Snapchat anymore, or is that like gone?
I think that's. I don't think that stuff's all still there. I don't. Okay. They're like, but it's all melding into one. It's like I want to go on Facebook Live. Here I'm on Instagram Live. Here I'm on Snapchat Live. I mean, gotcha. Here I'm on Periscope. Here I'm on Meerkat. I'm like, come on.
We want to put you on auto wrap, John. We want to put you on the app.
Oh, I'm on auto wrap. Don't worry. I just redid my account today.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
I'm on auto wrap. Don't worry.
Auto wrap out there. Just get on auto wrap, and you'll just be, you'll all of a sudden be like really cool with your kids. Right, John?
Is that what you do? Then you've got them engaged, and then forget it. You don't even have to teach them anything. Yeah. Just give them a coloring AR page, and then they'll take it out. And then you're not stressed anymore. We just solved the problem of teacher stress. Look at that. In 2017, we are working it. Ring the bells.
Seriously, I can't believe you just solved education's problem with
there we go. Teacher burnout. I just
15 second like.
Oh, you just use auto wrap to engage them, give them cool, don't give them boring worksheets, give them AR worksheets where the numbers like jump out and do some dancing. And they dance to Justin Timberlake songs, and then you can just go back there and answer, you know, clear out your emails, get to inbox zero, you're not stressed, bam, out the door at 3:15, right when it's the bell rings.
Inbox zero and engagement, and let's see, what are the other, John, I want to talk to you about this. What are the top three buzzwords for 2017? Dave Materio really wants to know. Besides Blastoise.
Yes, besides Pokemon Go stuff right
what
now.
What are the top three, like, that you think will be the actual buzzwords that will drive people goo goo for gaga in 2017? John, give it to us.
I don't know.
This is a tough question.
Between the both of us. Let's see. I think the one that's making the big push is, I really feel like design thinking is making the big push right now.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to cross the goal line in 2017, and that's going to be like the new thing. If you know how to do design thinking with kids, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I'm the master of design thinking, and do that one. I feel like that's one of the buzzwords for sure. It's almost like, and I really feel like the maker stuff too. I really feel like the maker stuff is coming around, or like the Internet of Things.
The Internet of Things.
The Internet of Things, where I really love that stuff, where it's like, we're going to, I've got some stuff right over here. I've got my little bits kits right over here. I'm ready to start my online class, and where you're making things. And I really feel like that's a good, I really feel like that's catching fire too. So those are my two, I guess. Like the maker, Internet of Things, Raspberry Pi stuff. I think it's all fascinating. I really do. And I feel like if we can figure out how to bring that to kids, the one that I'm really trying to do now is, it's like compute, it's not just like hour of code now. I think the next step is computer science. How do we get kids going through that whole process of creating, you know, like storyboarding, not just getting on to code,
right?
Just because we're trying to get the princess to, you know, in Frozen to skate into a marigold or whatever, but we're gonna actually to say, hey, I want you to take Scratch,
create something serious,
storyboard it out, work with a couple students, yeah. And I really feel like when I'm doing my next step Scratch lessons, that kids, I mean, they really say you've got to work at least in pairs. On Scratch, you should have them coding by themselves, have them working together to try and annotate stuff. And I feel like that's the next step with computer science. And hopefully when I get on this little thing for the year, we're trying to do some Oregon standards. So
John, I remember, and you talked about design thinking. I remember going to EdCamp LA a couple of years back and going into session with Moss Pike and thinking like, you know, this is constructivist. This is what, you know, Tim's been talking about, and Moss is like laying out what design thinking's about and just thinking how cool design thinking is and like how it connects to constructivist theory and like You know, I don't disagree with you on the whole design thinking thing. I think it's what may drive people and districts in 2017 to create these kind of like maker spaces, even though they don't really know what that means. They feel like mm-hmm. they need to. I hope it's done thoughtfully with the intent of like, how do we connect this to some type of learning rather than like, let's just do this because it's trendy and popular, but how do we make this space that's actually usable? I was in like a brainstorming session with my district, and we were talking about what's that innovation lab supposed to look like. And I said, you know, what I really believe, John, is rather than an innovation lab, what we need is a lecture lab, and every single classroom should be an innovation lab. We should go to one space to lecture and do right. that whole class teaching, but every single classroom should be that like hands-on, like thinking lab, not this place where we all like sign up for times to go and try to be innovative for like our 30 minutes or hour time space, like a computer lab was for so long. But like, let's approach this whole next era like thoughtfully, rather than just like, we have this innovation space and you can go innovate during that space, but otherwise you got to follow this content and curriculum. And like, I don't know, it just drives me nuts that we think about it in that terms. You know what I'm saying, John?
I think that I agree with you. And I think that one of the things that I always struggle with is, I mean, we're here in Beaverton, Oregon. I mean, it's the home of Nike and Intel, you know,
an amazing place.
And I've talked to some people from, and Nike and Intel help out for a little times, but I feel like what we almost need is we need someone that connects to the community. It's like what you're talking about with the lecture lab is, it almost sounds perfect for like Skyping in and Skyping with experts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Skype in with an expert and then they connect you with someone. Like you're like, okay, here, we're going to go to the lecture lab. We're going to talk to someone in the community right. and they're going to say, okay, Mr. Bedley's fifth grade classroom, these are some of the problems that we're having right now. Yeah, how can you help us brainstorm and solve these problems?
Exactly.
Then you go back into the lab and then you have the kids kind of do that genius hour, like, right. but it doesn't even have to be 20% time at that point. Yeah. That could be one of the things that they work on extra. And then that's one
it's
of the things
just
that you're
geared towards. Real world, not scenario world. And I think education gets these two mixed up. There's scenario world and there's real world. Real world actually solves some real problem.
Right.
And scenario world kind of pretends to solve some problem and pretends to have the kids think that they pretend solve some problem. But mm-hmm. it's that kind of thing that you're talking about, John, which I love the concept of, really provides kids the opportunity to solve real problems.
I just saw something the other day, and I used to be a big sports card person, and I saw something from Upper Deck where they retweeted a little boy who had one of his friends had gotten cancer, and he was a big sports card collector. And what he did to cheer him up was he started getting like asking for donations for cards for him, right? And so then it kind of grew into this thing where he started doing a whole bunch of work and getting a whole bunch of cards, and
John,
it was
like
way more.
Like 100 million cards.
Yeah, I totally have some laying around that I would donate to him. And then what he does is he goes and he visits like the cancer patient wards at hospitals and gives out the cards to like cheer them up and does little things like that. And the kid's like 9-10 years old,
so awesome.
or whatever. I mean, and he's been doing it for a while now. And so I think he did it so much that Upper Deck noticed him. They gave him his own little card. And so he'll sign his card for you for a $5 donation to his, you know, cause. And that's kind of what he does. And so he tries to like raise money for charity that way and brighten up kids' days. And I don't know, it just seems like if we gave the kids a chance to do some of that stuff, not everybody would come up with something incredible, I'm sure, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's the thing. And it's so hard in between. You talk about the stress on teachers. It's so hard in between all that stuff to make connect those dots and find the person. It's almost like a district There are, you know, I work at a district office, Scott, and let me tell you.
Are you a TOSA?
Yes, Scott, I am a TOSA. And so what I feel like, and I would include myself on this one, what I feel like people, and I barely have the time to do this, so I can't imagine a person with a classroom doing all this stuff, but it's got to be people like us that go find people and say, hey, what how can you help me connect with this teacher? It's just hard in a district that's so large for, we have 50, but I feel like there's got to be a person out there that's got like six connections and says, okay, here we go. This is your starting point. If you're a fifth or fourth grade teacher, you want to, I don't even think you have to give an arbitrary grade level to it or whatever, whatever the teacher is interested. If the teacher's interested and they want to pursue the big project, then let them do it.
Right.
You know? Sure. And I feel like that's the thing. If you can find the people, if you know somebody, that's always good. But I don't know. I feel like it's got to be more. The key has got to be at some point, too, is the parents. The parents have got to come in and they got to say, okay. And I've had some parents try and get involved lately and reach out to me. And they're like, we want to get involved. We want to help out with the computer science. We're programmers. So I don't know. But there's some interesting things out there. And I would love to see, I would love to give some of that real world stuff a try, that service learning stuff. And speaking of service learning, Scott Bedley, before you go to bed, give us a plug for Global School Playday, please.
I've been dying. I don't know if anybody's listening yet, but
we still have one person. We have two people watching.
Oh, thanks for watching, you guys.
Marnie is one.
We appreciate it, Marnie. Global School Playday is coming up here, John. It's about a little over, well, it's about a month away, actually, right now. It's February 1st, 2017. It's the first Wednesday in every February from like this day forward. But really what it's about is saying, hey, kids do not have the opportunity to play like we used to have. An unstructured time where adults might supervise, but it's really driven and completely decided by students, which builds empathy, there's so many positives to this thing, John. And we have right now, at least not close, if not close, over 60,000 students from six different continents that have committed to being a part of this. They're teaching.
Oh, is Antarctica holding out again?
Antarctica, gosh. They're always a holdout the last three
years.
Darn it. So we're really hoping last year, I think we ended up with over 177,000 students committed around the world by their teachers and administrators to say, we're going to be a part of this. And we're going to say unstructured play for kids is a really important part of development. And, you know, brain research is showing this, John. This is not just Scott Bedley hoping that kids get a chance to play, but this is like brain research saying that, you know, important enzymes and proteins are released when all of us play, that helps brain cell development. Like this is science. Like this is something that we really can't argue with. It's happening out there for kids and adults. And so let's play, let's play, let's take one day. And Tim loves to say it like, hey, let's dare everyone to take one day to play away from the content and the curriculum. And we think it's definitely a valuable piece. So spread the word, tell a friend. This is a grassroots effort. We would love to have 500,000 kids out there one day playing and sharing their information and what happened with them and their kids, their classes the next day with each other. But we really think of it as a battery-free, electronic-free day where kids just play and just be people for one day, which they don't have a lot of time to do anymore, which is really sad, John.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, we'll put the link on grumpyoldteachers.com for sure.
Yeah.
That's an easy way too. But you can also go to, what is it? Is it globalschoolplayday.org?
Globalschoolplayday.org we had, but globalschoolplayday.com is also a way to get on there.
Oh, okay. You got the
check it out. .com.org. I think we got .net, but it's really not a commercial effort. It's really just an effort to say, hey, let's do something different for kids. And we dare you to say that play is not important for kids. And, you know, this all, John, this started when we saw districts in Florida canceling recess for test prep. We saw, like, I know, who does that? Who says, like, hey, the 15 minutes that kids get a day should be canceled so they can do better on tests? And not a, you know, not a knock on the educators, but we all get caught up in this chase after, like, we're going to be judged by these test scores. But we need to all stand up and say, you know, what's right for kids? And what's right for kids is to let them play. We need to let them play more.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Thank you.
I don't know. But by the way, Scott does take monetary donations as a kickback. I'm just kidding. He does not.
I don't take any donate. I don't want any money out of anything really that I do. Really, John. Although I would
by
like
the way, to this show is sponsored
government on tax.
By the way, this show is sponsored by Powell's Books, Portland, Oregon. Look at Scott's hat. You know what
we
I
love
think
Powell's.
Is, you know what I think is funny is that my wife texts me and she's like, how can I not see you in this one? And then I think what happened was, you know how I hit that bottom button because I wanted to, you showed me something real quick before we started. And then I hit the director button. So it's just been on you the whole time, Scott. That's awesome.
That is horrifying.
Just from now on our podcast.
Although, awesome. You know, my wife thinks I'm a handsome man. I don't know much many other people that do.
I think you're a handsome man too. And you know what? Taylor.
Some people
Taylor,
say Taylor like James Billy Joe. Told me
that he said you're his most handsome uncle.
I think he only has one. No, he's got a couple. He's got at least three uncles. So
okay.
You know, if I rank one of them three, then I'll take it.
He said you were the most handsome uncle on his father's side. And also the not so handsome.
I will definitely not deny that. I would say I am hot to the bone, John.
That's right. You're hot to trot in 2017. All right. Well, speaking of hot, I still say that's my one pick for this week. Watch JT and the Tennessee kids. That's you won't be able to put that one down without shaking your little tail feather to it. He does.
John,
by the way,
John,
he can't.
When you look back on 2016, is there a famous star that you really are going to miss most in 2017?
You know, I really don't even think you could begin to name several of the people. I mean, you know, the one that's going to, there's many that are going to get overlooked now because there's been so many towards the end here. And even just before the end of the year, Father Mulcahy from MASH, right? I mean, he had to have lived a good life. I mean,
right.
But I mean, I remember I used to watch MASH. I'm that old. I could watch
MASH. Was like, what's number one show for generation?
For a long
time. I mean, it was
I can remember when I was in high school and they used to play MASH at like 10:30 or 10 after like the news in Chicago. I used to watch it right before I went to bed. Like, when I was in high school. But right. So, I mean, even him passing, I really, Muhammad Ali is a big one for me. Gene Wilder. Yeah. I really liked Gene Wilder. And I feel like this, the Debbie Reynolds just kind of like, and I saw it happen. If I hadn't have seen it happen with my own grandparents after my grandfather, my namesake actually, John Yates, if I hadn't seen my grandfather pass away and then my grandmother, who is perfectly healthy, kind of like just over the course of 9 months, just willed and just, she didn't want to go on living and she just died. Like she just didn't want to go on living. And I feel like that's kind of what happened with Debbie Reynolds. And I, you know, one of the things to watch out for is I heard that HBO had actually made a documentary about Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher and how close they were. And they had finished it all up. And so they're gonna release it a little bit earlier. But so that'll come out. But yeah, Carrie Fisher. Now here's the sad thing about it, Scott, too, is I just read, and I don't know if this is true or not, because you can't tell with these Facebook articles anymore, right? But
does Facebook verify their articles?
Charlie? Yeah, I've heard they're going to have to start here pretty soon. But I heard that they had a $50 million, Disney had a $50 million life insurance policy on Carrie Fisher, because she not only had finished up her scenes from the next movie, which she should be, but she was going to continue and be on in the next movie, which they haven't started.
Nine,
so I'm sure they'll have to change that around a lot, but. They have a 50 minute. Is I'm just stunned by that. That I think that they should take that money and donate it to Carrie Fisher or Debbie Reynolds' foundation or something.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's, they shouldn't profit off someone's loss like that.
No.
I feel like that's wrong. But anyway.
Yeah, Scott, it's
what
it's
about you? How about you?
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's so many difficult losses from, you know, it's hard when you think about people like David Bowie and Muhammad Ali, who really, when you look at his impact on culture and the United States and what it meant to so many people for him to do what he did in his lifetime. I mean, it's hard not to put him up at the top. I don't know how you don't, but you know, Prince, I mean, it's just an interesting time. I don't know if it's because of our age or what, John, but you face these people who have been very impactful as far as their influence on society. And you think like, wow, I mean, they're gone, but it's also like, you know, we're all gonna go.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like life's not a guarantee by any means. And so it's like, yet we feel so surprised when people like the people that we lost this year, we lose them. We feel surprised by that, but it's like, that's bound to happen. That's a guarantee. More than anything, almost that's a guarantee that we're going to lose people that have made some kind of impact each year. And so it's like I you know, hear a lot of people saying like, oh, 2016, thank goodness for it being gone. And yes, there's absolutely, you know, in the broader realm and even in my personal life, John, you know, there's a lot of reasons to like really be thankful that 2016 is gone. But, you know, I think it's like, you know, as we face things as people, you know, 2016 or 2017, 15, 2020, whatever it is, there's going to be some tough things that we face as people.
Yeah, I think so for sure. I'm glad we ended on such a positive note, 2017, right? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, yes.
But yeah, so anyway, well, we'll hold down the fort. And you know what? Speaking of 2016.
I think we just are wrapping up an hour of show.
Right, we should do this. But I just want to say also, rest in peace, Techlandia. As we never really got a final show. We never really got a final show going. But
Allison and Kurt, what are you doing? Come back on. Like, make
we'll get them on. Well, so when we go to the new format and the teaching in beta, everybody will be welcome on, and I feel like we'll get a couple people. We'll get the flow going for a couple people. Maybe just be you, me, and you, Briggs, and I. We'll get it started. Maybe a little bit of Ryan O'Donnell.
Brian Briggs.
Yeah, and we'll get it started. We'll show the people what they came for, and then maybe people will be like, okay, hey, I've got a couple samples of what you're talking about now, Samuelson. I think I want to come on that little panel show real quick and talk about a little education.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's what we'll do. We'll get it started, and I'll have to go to Fiverr and pay a whole $20 to get a new logo, but hey, that's the price you pay, right?
I'll chip in, John. I'll chip in my 25 cents.
You just chip in by helping with the podcast. Anyway.
John, how long have we been doing Grumpy Old Teachers? Do you even know?
Is it just been December of last year?
No, gosh. No.
It's been December of the year before, so it's been 2 years?
I think it's been close to 2 years, John.
Holy cow, that's crazy, dude.
I know.
Congratulations,
buddy.
There we go.
You've been stuck with this the leftover Bedley brother for a couple of years.
We like to call you the younger Bedley brother. So we like to call you the younger, whoops, less innovative Bedley brother.
The whoops, we had another Bedley brother.
Where did he come from? Oh, that's not Bedley said. Anyway, will you tell the family, tell Gene I said hello?
I will, absolutely.
Okay, that's good. Well, thanks for hanging up with me, hanging up late. I didn't even count down my New Year or anything, Scott Bedley.
I think we're going to make it to Hawaii's time, John. I don't know.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, let's Amy Breval. We're bringing you into the New Year. It's going to be Alaska
happy,
time in 5
happy
minutes.
New Year, Amy Breval.
Happy New Year, all my old friends in Alaska. Anyway, all right.
Hey, Happy New Year, Johnny.
Happy New Year. Check out grumpyoldteachers.com, and we will catch you on the flip side, 2017. You have been listening to Techlandia, a member of the Education Podcast Network. For more great content, please visit techlandiaradio.com and edupodcastnetwork.com.